Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. The Senate resumes the impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump this morning. His attorneys included their defense yesterday, arguing he should not be convicted of inciting his supporters to attack the Capitol last month. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports.
Former President Donald Trump's lawyers called the Democratic manager's conclusions that Trump incited the January 6 riots a preposterous and monstrous lie.
This unprecedented effort is not about Democrats opposing political violence. It is about Democrats trying to disqualify their political opposition. It is constitutional cancel culture.
Senators also wrapped up their question and answer portion of the trial. The two sides are expected to make their closing arguments before voting on the sole article of impeachment, incitement of insurrection. It would take 67 senators, including at least 17 Republicans, to convict. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
After Trump's attorneys concluded their case, senators were allowed to submit questions for either side. Senators Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer ask if the violence would have happened if not for President Trump. Impeachment manager Joaquin Castro responded.
To answer your question very directly, Donald Trump summoned the mob. He assembled the mob and he lit the flame. Everything that followed was because of his doing. And although he could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence, he never did. In other words, this violent, bloody insurrection that occurred on January 6 would not have occurred but for President Trump.
Today, there may be as long as 4 hours of arguments. Another 2 hours have been set aside for discussing potential witnesses, but it's not clear whether either side will call any witnesses. A vote on conviction could come as early as today. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta released new guidance yesterday for reopening the schools for in-person learning during the pandemic. For member station WABE, Sam Whitehead reports.
Universal masking, physical distancing, good hand hygiene, regular cleaning, and contact tracing.
All mitigation strategies provide some level of protection, but when implemented together or layered, they provide the greatest level of protection.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky leads the agency. The CDC's guidance says vaccinating teachers and school staff can provide an additional layer of mitigation, but isn't required for schools to return to in-person learning. Walensky stressed the CDC is not mandating schools reopen, or that schools that are already open close if they can't put these mitigation efforts in place. For NPR News, I'm Sam Whitehead in Atlanta.
This is NPR. Demonstrators marched in major cities in Myanmar again today, demanding the military government release the country's leader. Aung San Suu Kyi has been detained since the general seized control in a coup February 1st. Her National League for Democracy party won last year's election in a landslide. Today's the eighth straight day of protests in Myanmar. The man hailed as the savior of the European single currency has agreed to become Italy's new prime minister, with the task of steering the country out of its double pandemic and economic crises. NPR's Silvia Pagioli reports.
Former European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi has been dubbed Super Mario for having done whatever it takes to save the euro. He was asked to form a government after the previous one collapsed over handling of the coronavirus crisis and use of EU recovery funds. Italy has secured pledges of some $250 billion, but it has not presented proposals on how the money will be spent. The previous administration was an anomalous coalition of the anti-establishment populist five-star movement and the center-left Democratic Party. Draghi's government will also embrace the hard-right Nationalist League, a volatile mix that will require all of his many talents to keep in line. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
President Biden is spending the weekend at Camp David, his first at the presidential retreat as president. The rustic compound is located at mountains in western Maryland. It's been used as a getaway for presidents for years and a secluded place to meet with foreign leaders. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.